risen, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself?
Just one moment.
You got it. That's good. That's fine.
Good morning, New Life Church. That was better. There was a little bit more excitement in that one. Anyway, I'd just like to open up worship this morning with a call to worship from Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. And he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. Now please rise with me as we worship this morning.
From their tombs, and the angels stood in.
as I search the world.
Better than you, Lord, there's nothing.
that word up to you this morning, God. And we just search our hearts for anything that we've prioritized over you this week. Father, we give that over to you. We ask your forgiveness. And we just pray, God, that you become our center, that you become our hope.
To Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
How I fight my battles. And this
God, we just lift up our praises to you this morning, Father. In the presence of our enemies, louder than our unbelief, God, we'll praise you, Father. On the mountains, we'll praise you through the valleys, Father. We just thank you for this opportunity to gather today.
Father, in a world that would say that we need to fight our battles with weapons, with tanks, with artillery, with power, with money, we stand this morning and say that we want to fight our battles by the power of the Spirit. By the power that you have given the church, that you have given each one of us, to speak the good news of Jesus into every square meter of this universe. And so we do that this morning. We raise a hallelujah. We speak into the darkness, and we declare your goodness and your grace and your love and your mercy, for you are good and holy and wonderful, and we worship you this morning with all our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Have a seat, everyone. Well, welcome. Welcome to New Life this morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Pastor Bruce, and I'm just kind of doing the announcements this morning and doing some hosting. We're so glad that you're here, especially if you are a guest or a visitor. We want to extend a special welcome to you. Hopefully you found some coffee in the back, and if you didn't, you can find some there after the service. We want to make this place not just feel like a, you know, worship service, but like a family. And so we're glad you're here. And for those of you worshiping online today, we say hi and welcome. We're glad you're here virtually, and may you have a blessing in this service as well. So a couple things that I want to make you aware of, and that is all this month here at New Life, we are collecting food for the food bank, and that's probably pretty obvious given what you see up front here. And this week, we're actually collecting pasta sauce, or, well, we'll take any kind of pasta. So let me just say it like this. Don't let this opportunity pass to you by, okay? Janessa was probably going to throw something at me now. She does a dad joke. Anyway, so listen, if you didn't bring some pasta with you this morning, you can bring it next week. And so all this month we're collecting, and we want to bless all those people in our communities that need a special blessing, that need extra food. So, you know, be a part of this. Every week, bring some food, empty out your cupboard. We're all so blessed, aren't we? And we're also going to take an offering. We have sort of a regular offering that we take every week, and you're welcome to use some of these offering boxes here on the side. You can see how to give electronically. We know most of you give electronically these days, so you can use any one of these methods to give. You know, later on this morning, I'm going to get an opportunity to go down and work with the children's ministry, and we've got puppet stages down there and puppets, and the kids are looking forward to it. And that's just one of the ministries that your money goes to support. It makes these ministries that we do here in this church take place. So please be generous. If you're a guest or a visitor, don't feel like you have to participate, but we just count it a privilege to give every week. We're also taking an offering this morning, special offering if you want to give for, it's called Brand New Life Ministries in Bogota, Colombia. Fernando Trevino, who is a New Life missionary, let's bless him as well, as he does incredibly challenging work, working with young people and leading a church in that troubled city. So please do that. And we're going to take just a short break now, a three-minute break, just so that you have the opportunity to give, but also maybe during this time you want to grab a coffee or just shake the hand of somebody around you, say hi, welcome them to church, and then we'll continue on with the worship service after that. Let's do that now.
Be the shadow where I hide.
Some of you, this is the funnest part of the service. Just chatting and seeing people, shaking their hand. Fellowship is a good thing. It's a good thing. All right, couple things that we want to make you aware of this week. And one is, there is a special evening coming up. It's called An Evening for Cora. You may have noticed the booth that's out in the foyer. As a kind of a preparation to tell you a little bit more about that ministry and what's happening with An Evening for Cora, have a look at this video.
It's our 10-year anniversary! Woo!
Wow, 10 years. I can't believe it's been that long. When I first stepped into Cora, I was so taken aback by the poverty and the tremendous need. I could never have imagined then what has happened over all of these years and where we are today. I've just returned home from spending 1 month in Cora. It was so encouraging. So much is happening. People are being empowered, lives are being changed, and there is hope for the future.
I remember visiting Cora, seeing the intense struggle of the people that live there, but also the profound resilience. 10 years ago, we began our journey in Cora. And that's why we want to invite you to come celebrate with us at An Evening for Cora on October the 30th.
Last year, we hosted our first virtual event as we gathered together online to enter Cora at Home. This year, we are thrilled that we're able to be back together in person celebrating our 10th anniversary together. Now, we're thrilled to be able to join together again in person and are planning our first hybrid event so you can join us in one of two meaningful ways.
This year, we will be celebrating here at the beautiful Clarion Hotel in Abbotsford, BC. It's sure to be an evening of excellent cuisine, great conversation, a lively auction, and inspirational stories of hope. But we will also be celebrating online. We will be live streaming the program portion of our night right here from the Clarion Hotel. If you are unable to attend in person, we invite you to join virtually.
Our mission is bringing families together and breaking the cycle of poverty. This special event is crucial in raising much needed funds for the upcoming year, bringing hope and a better future for the people of Cora.
Come and celebrate with us. Join us for some inspirational stories of hope, of transformation. We'll be seeing and hearing from those living in Cora whose lives have been impacted by the work of so many.
Whether you come with a little or a lot to give, whether this is your first time with us or you've been with us many times before, we hope you will join us and be inspired by what God is doing in the lives of those living in Kora, Ethiopia.
We sincerely hope that you can join us for a very special celebration on Saturday, October 30th. Online or in person, the details are on our website at hopeforkora.org.
I actually really enjoyed watching an evening for Kora virtually last year online with my friends, and I'm going to do it again this year. I hope you'll come join us.
Did you hear the great news?
What news?
Hope for Kora is celebrating 10 years.
When?
October 30th. I hope everybody joins in to see all the ways that Hope for Kora has blessed so many. I know we'll be there.
Happy 10th anniversary, Hope for Kora.
Happy 10th anniversary, Hope for Kora.
Celeb, happy 10th anniversary, Hope for Kora.
Join us for an evening with Kora on October 30th.
Happy 10th anniversary, Hope for Kora.
Come and celebrate with us.
Come celebrate with us.
Come celebrate with us.
Come celebrate with us.
Happy anniversary, and we sure hope that you will join us on the 30th.
Fantastic. And I just want to let you know, I was talking to Eve before the service, and I got my tickets. Okay, so I'm going. How about you? So let's all just line up afterwards, grab some tickets. If you want to, you know, guys, if you want to see stuff, this online, please do. Let's support this amazing ministry and make sure that we bless people. You know, Addis Ababa, I've been there myself personally. It's a tough place. It really is. But you can bring some hope and some life and a blessing. And so let's all do that together. A couple other things that I want to make you aware of, and that is there's Monday night prayer is starting again on November 1st. And these prayer gatherings happen every Monday evening at 7:30 p.m. So come and pray and be in the presence of God, be with other people. It's an open environment, restful. Take a deep breath and come and pray with other folks here at this church, again, starting on November 1st at 7:30 p.m. A couple other things that I want to make you aware of. First of all, the Restore Conference is coming up right here on November 18th to 20th. Now, you're probably asking yourself, what is the Restore Conference? Well, it's kind of emerged out of a vision that a number of us have had, that during this last 18 months or so, as long as we've been in the pandemic, it's been really hard on leaders, not just pastors, but church leaders, on others, friends of the church. And so the idea was, we need to have a conference of restoration. Now that we can meet in person and we can meet at full capacity here in BC, we're holding this conference right here. And I want to invite you to come. First of all, if you are a leader, if you say, you know what, I need my bucket, spiritual bucket filled. After everything we've been through, I need a time to come together for uplifting worship, for incredible speakers, for some food. It's going from Thursday night. We're going to have a comedian on Thursday night. Friday is going to be awesome all day long as we go through various seminars and sessions. There's going to be a worship concert that you can attend on Friday night. If you can't come to the full conference, you can buy tickets online for that particular event in and of itself. Dom, one of my friends from Montreal, is coming in. He's an amazing communicator, so he's going to be speaking. And then Saturday morning, we're going to wrap it up. Tap Ministries from Vancouver's coming in with their worship band. This is a time to come together, all right? For a time such as this, to come together as church, to pray with each other. We're inviting people from all across Canada, particularly Western Canada. So you'll be meeting people from all different walks of life. But again, it's not just for pastors. It's for anybody who's a leader or a friend of the church. Come and be restored and be a part of this amazing event on the 18th to the 20th. I also need, by the way, you know, one of the reasons we're holding it here at New Life is I know you guys have an incredible serving heart. So I do need some volunteers. If you're willing to volunteer for things like hospitality or transportation or AV tech or welcome table or setup takedown, if you're willing to step up, we'll give you a free conference invite if you're willing to be a volunteer. So I'm going to be in the foyer after the service. Come talk to me and say, hey, Bruce, I'm willing to help. If you do that, that'd be fantastic as well. One more quick thing before Nathan comes up to preach, and that is Tuesday nights, I'm doing something called The Big Story. It's in the youth room upstairs. We had about 10 people last week, but I think some folks thought that it was the beginning of a life group. It's actually just an educational opportunity. So if you want to come, doesn't matter who you are, you know, John Fictory was there on Tuesday, and he didn't even fall asleep. So it's got to be good. I must be, you know, catching a little bit of a wave there. Okay, so you're welcome to come Tuesday. And now can Nathan come up for a minute? And I'll just want to pray over him as he gives the message this morning. All right. Father, we just ask for this man right now that he would be the perfect vessel of communication, that he would speak your words, that these words that he's prepared all week would speak to our hearts. And use him, fill him with your spirit, and Lord, we lift him up before you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Bless you as you work with the kids. Have a blast. Well, good morning. Welcome again to New Life. It's good to be together. Although before we carry on with the message, I just want to acknowledge how hard this pandemic has been on all of us, but on us here at New Life Church as well. If you're connected in with our communication system here at church, you received a letter earlier this week about our staffing restructure. So given the church's size, it has shrunk. During the pandemic, the need to create a smaller budget and the need to, relaunch and restart all of our ministries, the board has regretfully decided to accept Pastor Mike's recommendation to lay off the executive pastor, which is, of course, Pastor Mike. So that's been a difficult decision, and it's painful. It hurts. And Mike's been a tremendous impact on New Life Church, on our ministry together. He's had a passion to connect people into the church. He's had a passion to grow people as followers of Jesus Christ. He's had a passion to fulfill the mission of this church of touching lives with the transforming love of Jesus. I am personally thankful for Mike's, not only his partnership, but also his friendship in ministry. He's been just an amazing source of inspiration and encouragement for myself. And it's just gonna be hard. It's going to take me some time as well to regain my footing in leadership without Mike. So next Sunday, we're going to have a time to honor Mike, thank him for his ministry here at New Life Church. And Patty and Pastor Mike will remain members here. We're glad about that. But I invite you to pray for them and bless them. Because for them, particularly, the future is rather uncertain. And so, let's join together in prayer right now and pray for that as we come before God to hear his word. God, we come to you again, deeply aware of how desperately we need you. We need you to guide us, lead us. We need you for courage and strength. We need you for your mercy and your embrace. And we pray especially for Patty and Mike. Pray that you'll lift them up, God, and embrace them in the days and weeks ahead, this week as he finishes up here. God, thank you so much for his contribution to ministry here at New Life Church. Pray that you'll bless him and his family, that you'll surround them with grace, mercy, and your everlasting love. Secure them, Father, in the palm of your hand. And so, God, as we look to your word, we pray that you will draw us all closer to you and make us more passionate to follow you, as Mike so well demonstrated for us these past 8 years. And in all of that, God, may we bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're in a series called Rise Up. It's a hard time for us in these past year and a half or 2 years even. It's a difficult time, and now's the time for us to hear the call of God to rise up, and as we wrestle with trying to get over this pandemic, and sometimes we feel like we're on top of it, and then there's setbacks, and then there's movement ahead, and then there's steps back again, and it just seems that life is harder than it has been for a while. Families are more fragmented. Ideologies seem, quite frankly, more idiotic. Communities seem more cantankerous. And so, all of us, the end result is we seem more weary, more disappointed, more frustrated, more impatient with the way things are and the way things are going. And frankly, it's probably easier just to put your head down and mind your own business. Problem, of course, is then we take a sneak peek at Facebook once again and the exasperation starts all over again. See, the fact is, we can't escape what's in front of us, as hard as it might be. But then the question is, well, what else are you busy with? What occupies your heart and your soul, your mind, and your strength? I think the answer is that you're going to have to, you and I, we're going to have to rise up, nevertheless, to God's mission. Rise up to God's mission. And here's what Jesus says about God's mission. In Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And that's the Jesus that we are following. Following Jesus, then what occupies us ought to be the desire to help others, in other words, flourish in life. As Jesus said, that's what he came here for. He came here to save us, to bring salvation so that we could have life and have it abundantly, to help others flourish. It's the mission of God. Say, how do we go about that? Well, God teaches us about his mission. In the middle of the Old Testament, in a wonderful book called Jonah. It's a story of Jonah, and we ought to be able to read the entire story together. It's a mere 4 short chapters. We're not going to take the time to do that now, but I encourage you to read that. Just the 4 chapters, just read the whole story through. But here's a summary of it, just to give you an idea of what we're talking about this morning. So, at the beginning of the story, God comes to Jonah, And he says in the very beginning, his first statement, he says, rise up and go to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh, of course, was a wicked city, was the arch enemy of the people of God. God sends Jonah out and says, rise up, go to the city of Nineveh. Jonah doesn't think that's a very good idea, so he absolutely refuses. In fact, he gets on a ship. So Nineveh was up to the north east for Jonah. Jonah goes down to a ship, and he heads entirely in the opposite direction towards Spain, Tarshish. And he goes on that ship, and a storm rises, and the sailors around Jonah say, what's going on? And Jonah goes, well, actually, I know what's going on. God's punishing me. So he says, just throw me overboard, and you guys will be safe. So they do that. And Jonah gets swallowed by a great fish. And Jonah prays like crazy. It's an incredible prayer. And he's burped up onto dry land. That's chapters 1 and 2. And then God again sends Jonah to Nineveh. Starts all over, chapter 3. The story starts all over. God comes to Jonah and says, rise up, go to Nineveh. And Jonah complies this time, but he does so reluctantly. He goes to Nineveh. He preaches as God told him to preach. But Jonah's expecting judgment. And the people, instead, when they hear Jonah's sermon, they repent. And God has mercy. And that makes Jonah absolutely crazy. Crazy mad. And he complains about God's lack of judgment, God's lack of punishment. And then at the end of that story, God sends an object lesson to Jonah. Jonah's sitting somewhere in the middle of a desert, in the middle of some heat or something, and there's a shrub there. And it's keeping Jonah comfortable. But then a worm comes and kills that shrub. And Jonah is once again crazy mad. And he complains to God about God's lack of compassion towards him. And then the story ends simply with a concluding question. God says to Jonah, you're worried about yourself? So then, shouldn't I, God says, shouldn't I be concerned about all the people of this great city? That's the story of Jonah. And in the first place, one of the lessons that we need to learn is to hear God, to be able to hear God in order to rise up to God's mission. You need to be able to quiet yourself. You need to be able to just listen for once. Perhaps that would be incentive for us to maybe attend that Restore conference, to say, yeah, in my busy life, I need to take the time to just quiet myself, calm myself down enough to be able to say, all right, God, I'm listening. Because otherwise, all you're going to ever hear are the noisy voices in the world around you. You see, the thing about Jonah is that he does hear God. He hears God's call immediately. There's no dispute about that. Jonah is a prophet of God. That's the prophet's job, to hear God's voice and speak his message. And Jonah does that. 2 Kings 14 refers to Jonah. He was a faithful prophet in Israel. He had turned the king of Israel around so that the king would obey God again and restored good relationship between God and his people. Jonah was a good prophet. He was listening to God. And when he's in the belly of the fish, he demonstrates an amazing prayer life. Jonah chapter 2. In my distress, I called out to the Lord. Oh God, you hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas. I said, I've been banished from your sight, and yet I'll look again towards your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts, he's in the belly of a fish, but here's his prayer. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. This is a man that's listening to God's voice. He hears God. And yet, he blatantly disobeys, heading in the entirely opposite direction, intentionally. Is Jonah that rebellious? Does Jonah really think that he can escape from God? It's like the typical hard of hearing joke. Two men standing in front of a general store. One leans over, says, hey, you want to go fishing? The guy says, can't. Got to go fishing. Right? Does that sound familiar? It certainly does to me. Not just because I'm hard of hearing, but because my own heart and soul are sometimes stubborn. We acknowledge God's presence in our life. We even pay attention to God when it comes to our own well-being. But do we hear God? See, ultimately, and the story of Jonah tells us this, ultimately, to hear God's voice, we need a reboot, to use technical language or to use biblical language. What we need is a death and resurrection experience. Jonah's in the belly of a fish for 3 days. That's not just a mere coincidence, but it's a looking forward to that ultimate reboot, that ultimate death and resurrection experience of our Savior. So Matthew 12 makes that reference. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. A death and resurrection experience. To hear God's voice, that's exactly what you and I need. A death and resurrection experience, a transformation. And we receive that transformation when we make Jesus' death and resurrection, the only death and resurrection that has the power to bring recreation, the only death and resurrection that has the power to bring transformation in your life and in my life. When we make that death and resurrection count for us. And so Jesus says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Or, in other words, he who tries to preserve his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will gain it. We need transformation. Our heart then is remolded, and until that transformation, we only hear the loudest voices of our culture. We need that transformation, and then our mind is transformed, and until then, our perspective is going to only be entirely self-centered. We need that transformation because then our will is transformed, and until then, our strength is only going to be our best intentions, and our best intentions are sometimes awfully weak. We need to hear God's call to rise up to his mission, and in order to do that, day by day, we need this death and resurrection experience of the power of God to transform us from the inside out. See, the thing is, when we think we hear God's voice, we easily think of rising up to God's mission merely by following his instructions. What's God's will for me? I'll do it. He just needs to tell me what it is and I'll do it. And for us, rising up to God's mission is often simply trying to get something done. And maybe we even just do it in order to get it out of the way so that we can carry on with our own lives. Maybe it's just something as though we're merely giving in to God, not rising up to his mission, but simply saying, well, I might as well do it, otherwise God's going to be mad. Jonah learns to obey God and hear his call to rise up to mission. But he does so merely by following God's instructions. He preaches. God, you want me to preach to Nineveh? Sure, I'll preach. I'm going to give it to him, and I'm going to give it to him hard. And it's the greatest success any evangelistic meeting could ever imagine. But with that success, Jonah is ticked like he's never been mad before. Because while he's expecting to preach judgment on this wicked city, these people who deserve the worst from God's hand, he in fact saves the city. And so Jonah is so mad that he wants to die. Now, be careful, because that probably doesn't actually sound so unfamiliar. If you ask yourself, what's making me so mad these days that you're willing to rain down fire and brimstone on somebody else's social media post? Think of topics like politics, or vaccines, or human sexuality, or drugs and harm reduction. Whatever side you are on in any of those topics, we want the other side condemned because it makes us so mad. And all the while, each of us is following God's instructions. We're doing God's will, but we're not rising up to God's mission. Because while we hear God's instructions, we're deaf to God's heart. Jonah had a perfect arrangement, he thought, a perfect arrangement for setting the world right. He had God's instructions. He was following God's will. He thought he was following God's mission. He knew the Ninevites. He knew the nasty people of this great superpower of Assyria, the arch enemies of God's own people. He knew their wickedness. And Jonah knew the right God. But Jonah didn't know his own soul. Jonah didn't know his own soul, and it made him deaf to God's compassion. See, the greatest hurdle, in fact, then, to hearing God is not the noise of an evil world, not the noise or the frustrations of your Nineveh, whatever that is in your life, your arch enemy, or the thing that makes you the most mad. The greatest hurdle is ourselves. We have yet to grasp the amazing grace of our great God. Our faith is intact. Our believing is up to par. Our theology is right. Our view of God is okay. We know what we can do for God on His behalf. We know how to fix up the world for Him. But we miss out on what gets God's heart pumping. An enormous, outrageous love. And so the question of God's mission is, how do we rise up to that kind of compassion? Here's what I would suggest from the story of Jonah. You examine your own soul. You examine your own soul and you ask yourself, what do I trust the most? And then you be brutally honest with yourself. Jonah, in fact, as it turns out, in the end of the story, trusted a lousy bit of shade to keep him comfortable. And a church catechism says, in contrast, my only comfort in life and in death is my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. But to trust Him the most, you've got to know His boundless compassion. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, gave Him up, sacrificed Him for your comfort and my comfort, for your salvation and my salvation. He gave it up, sacrificed His Son. When we catch on to God's enormous love for us, then we can rise up to God's mission. And so Jonah's story ends in a question that remains unanswered. If Jonah is mad over the destruction of a tiny shrub, shouldn't God be concerned about an entire city of wayward people? And that's the question. It's open. Left for you to answer. Left for me to answer. What do you trust in the most? In a book of poems that follow the story of Jonah, Thomas Carlyle writes a tiny little verse about this last question in the book of Jonah. Here it is. And Jonah stalked to his shaded seat and waited for God to come around to his way of thinking. And God is still waiting for a host of Jonahs. It's you and me. God is still waiting for a host of Jonahs in their comfortable houses to come around to His way of loving. Amen. Let's pray together. God of mercy, we stand dumbfounded at Your amazing love. We stand short-handed at our inability to grab a hold of how high, how deep, how broad is Your love. Holy Spirit, come upon us. Show us once again Your mercy. Show us once again, God, Your compassion. Show us once again, Father, Your embrace. And teach us to love as only You can love. And free us, Father, to live that life of abundance, trusting in you alone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please rise as we sing. Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And the Lord Sorry about that. Go in the peace of God. Go in the love of God. Go in the strength of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord turn his face of love towards you and give you his peace. And so rise up to God's mission. Go in peace.